Just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter number 24. Amen. We ought to be standing on the promises and refusing to move from those promises that the song's talking about. There's not talking about stubbornness. Stubbornness is not a good thing. It's a bad thing. But it's talking about steadfastness. It's talking about stability. Amen. Not being tossed about by every wind of doctrine. That's not stubborn. That's stable. And that's what he's talking about in that song. And we need that in this world. We're living in an unstable world. A very unstable world. And we need some stability. I believe we can find that in the Word of God. And we ought to make up our mind that's what we're going to be. I was thinking that that's how it is in most Baptist churches. Everybody's got their seat and they shall not be moved. A stranger comes in, they better just find somewhere else to sit. Amen. No, don't sit in my pew. You remember that song they come out with? Amen. But anyway, I'm just picking about that. But we ought to be stable in the doctrines of God. The only way you'll get there is by diligently studying the Word of God. Amen. Diligently studying the Word of God. I believe listening to preaching can help, but if you don't study on your own, you're probably not going to get stable like you need to. Right. Have you ever wondered why so many churches, listen to Brother Ricky as we was coming, Brother Ricky Cawthorn coming in. He's talking about churches being weak on doctrine, a new generation coming in. They don't know anything. He said that's because they're playing basketball on Wednesday night during the services instead of sitting in a church house. I think that's right. I say amen to Brother Ricky on that. Don't be out playing basketball on Wednesday night. Be in your church pew listening. But there's a lot of churches that they've heard the preaching, but that's all they've got. It's just what they've heard from the preacher, and they're not stable on their doctrine. The next preacher comes in, preaches something strange, something totally different. They'll follow right along with it. In many cases, because they don't know where they stand. God help us. I want to be stable. I want you to be stable. Amen. Want you to. All right, Proverbs chapter number 24. We'll read the first 9 verses, and we're going to try to deal with them tonight. There's 34 verses in this chapter. If we can do these 9 tonight, we'll cover those and then move on. We'll do it responsibly, reading together. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men." We stop there, verse number 9. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask him to add his blessing to the reading of the Word of God. Brother Hereford, would you lead us, please? Yes. Yes, Lord, help us to. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Help us, Lord, yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Hereford, for that prayer. Amen. Well, we're just beginning our study of Proverbs chapter number 24 as we look at it verse by verse as we've been doing. through this book. Again, noticing that many of these verses are connected one with another. And I really believe I can see connection in all of them tonight, as we did last time. We looked at the last several verses of chapter 23, and they were all talking about drinking some sort, drinking of alcohol, dealing with wine and mixed drink and all that that goes in that. And so we dealt with that a couple of weeks ago. Now in these, I believe I can see a connection. I'm not going to give that to you immediately. We'll do that at the end. But verses 1 and 2 particularly go together very, very strongly. I believe you can see that they go together. Look at it. It says, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." He's talking about envying evil men. I just ask the question, who would envy evil men? What is there about evil men to envy? Right. More than likely, most people, I think there's two things, and the seeming prosperity of evil men is one of the things that people seem to give in to. It looks like that they are making it well in this world. It looks like that they've got, you know, as we say, hand over fist, making money hand over fist. Look like they've got things going their way. Here's another thing why people envy, more particularly maybe younger people in the church. See, evil men, they envy their liberty. They envy the fact that they get to do what they want to do. They're not living by rules. Somebody came out a few years ago with the phrase, I believe it was Nike. Somebody came out with it anyway that said, sometimes you just got to break the rules. Y'all remember that slogan? I don't remember who made that motto. Somebody did. Sometimes you just got to break the rules. We're living in a unruly world. And particularly when a child becomes unruly and they seem to get away with it, then other children look to that with envy. They'd like to be able to talk back to their parents without getting their mouth mashed. By the way, you need your mouth mashed if you talk back to your mama or your daddy. Amen. And I'm not advocating busting mouths, but busting rears. Right. Right. Busting rears can affect the mouth. Oh, amen. Or a good cake of soap. Right. Just let them lick around on that a while, chew around on that a while. Sometimes might change their attitude towards us. But children that seem to get by with things like that, others look up to that, and then it moves on. They look at young men, look at men, young men that are, for example, drinking alcohol. That's just, and they envy the ability to be able to do that. Maybe to hold their liquor. They're so big and bad that they can hold their liquor. No, they've drunk so much poison that their body is getting used to it. In many of those cases, that's the problem. But it seems like that apparently some people do envy evil men, and it is so prevalent that our Bible speaks against it. Solomon's telling his son, don't be envious of these evil men. Be not thou envious against evil men. Neither, look at this next phrase, neither desire to be with them. Not only don't be envious, and envy and desire are together. You recognize that, don't you? Don't be envious of their actions, but don't even want to be in their company. Right. When they're cursing and swearing, don't hang around with that crowd. When they're drinking and carousing, when they're talking about sexual things, don't be around that crowd. Amen. Amen. Just stay away from them. Don't run with that crowd. He's talking here about being careful who we run with. Amen. Here's the thing. Those look like they got prosperity, look like they got liberty, but all that's going to come to an end one day. Don't be envious of it. It do us good to be reminded about Abraham. You remember Abraham went down there and delivered Lot and the men of Sodom. He delivered them from those other kings. Those four kings came against five kings, and the four kings defeated those five kings and took them in hostage. And Abraham went down there with his servants and delivered them. The king of Sodom said, we'll give you royalties. We'll give you booty. And Abraham said, I don't want what you got. Of course, I'm paraphrasing that. I like to paraphrase it the way Brother Eric Vick said it. Eric Vick said it. He said, we don't even want one of your pink tennis shoe strings. Yeah. Shoe strings that are pink. We don't even want them. Amen. That rainbow colored shoe strings, we don't want them.
Amen.
What they were saying, here's what Abraham was saying. I don't envy what you got. God's good to me. And I'm going to get my good things from my God, not from some heathen, wicked person. Amen. And we need to be reminded of that. That's what he's talking about here. Be not thou envious. But also don't even want to be around them. Be careful that you don't desire to be around them. And he gives the reason for that in verse number 2. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Their heart studieth destruction. He's saying that you need to stay away from them because they're up to no good. They're not going to be building you up. They're going to be tearing you down. They're not going to build character. They're going to destroy character. Right? They're not going to build a nation. They're going to destroy a nation. And on you could go about it. They're not going to build a loving relationship. They're going to destroy loving relationships. He says it's as if they're only imagining evil in their hearts. Their minds are on evil continually, like it was in Noah's day. Amen. And he's saying that their lips talk of mischief. You notice evil thoughts in the heart find utterance in the mouth. When you're thinking on destruction, you're going to utter mischievous things. You're going to talk about bad things that are not good. So God doesn't want us running with evildoers, because their evil communications will corrupt our good manners. It leads to mischief and destruction. By the way, evil communications mature. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. Starts out just in the heart, and it moves forth into the actions. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He's dealing with that same principle in these verses here. Don't be envious of them in your heart. Don't run with them in your feet. Don't be a part of them. Don't be in their company. Amen. God knows that the comrades that we fellowship with, if they're evil men, then their evilness will come into us. When we're inundated with all that evil, we're surrounded by all that evil, we're affected by that evil. Amen. We'll be enticed with it. Sometimes we'll be entangled with the same things. Amen. We've recently been informed in the previous chapter 23, verse number 17, we was informed not to let our heart envy sinners. Amen. We were also informed in verse number 20 of chapter 23, not to be among them that are given to wine. Amen. Not among wine bibbers. And among righteous eaters of the flesh. So the same principle is tied up in these two verses that was in the previous chapter. Don't envy them. Don't let your heart go out to them. By the way, let me just plug this. Here's another. I don't even have my microphone on, do I? Brother, I'm behind as I can be. I've got it. Amen. I thought I was going to have to send my wife back to the house to get. No, I'm kidding. Amen. I'm forgetting everything. When I stepped away from here, I realized I couldn't hear myself. Another way that people envy evildoers sometimes is that they watch it on television. Man, they're living the life. Seems like they got it made. Looks like everything's going their way, and that looks so enticing, and that looks so compelling. He said, don't envy them. Amen. Don't envy them. So he's talking about not only don't envy them, he's telling us don't want to be around them. You know why he says that? And he said it in the previous chapter. Because he knows that drinkers entice others to drink. Cursers influence others to curse. Yeah. What you go on, whatever. Adulterers influence others to commit adultery. Fornicators influence others to commit fornication. Pornographers push off pornography on others. And on and on and on you go. Sin influences others. So does righteousness, by the way. So surround yourself by righteous people. Surround yourself with people that love God and love the things of God, and it'll help you. It won't hurt you. Amen. Amen. We hook up with the wrong crowd, often their lewdness and their wickedness rubs off on us, as we say. Amen. Immodest people influence others to be immodest. Amen. We have visitors come in. They don't always dress like we want them to dress. We're not ugly to them. But at the same time, I'm going to inform you, you don't pattern your life after them. That's right, isn't it? Amen. That's right. Well, somebody in the past wisely said this. They said, choose your friends carefully, for they shape you into the person you will be. Choose your friends carefully, for they will shape you into the person you will be. And then they went on to say, you either are or soon will be what your friends are. That's right. I remember when I was in school in particular, kids are a little bit more impressionable than adults are, maybe. It seems that way anyway. And as a kid, I was impressionable. And I remember going to school and some of my friends got to talking about NASCAR, for example. I wasn't the least bit interested in NASCAR until I got to hanging out with them. Right. You can name different things. Matter of fact, that it's friends that introduced me to comic books. I got caught up in the comic book craze. It's friends that introduced that to me. I wasn't interested until they got talking, but they was interested in it, and we got to, you know, sharing and comparing. And of course, they influence you. That's the point that I'm making. Now, I say this. This proverb that I'm dealing, these two verses, is especially good advice to young people. Young people need to be careful and need to be reminded again and again. Be careful who your friends are. Be careful who you're surrounding yourself with. Be careful who you are categorizing yourself with. The company that you're keeping. The atmosphere will affect you. Amen. We are affected by these things. And by the way, we are responsible for the type of person we allow to become our friends. Amen. We're responsible. How many times have you ever heard parents say, well, I'm going to tell you, he is a good boy till he got with the wrong friends. And that's true. But sometimes the reason he got with the wrong friends is because he was already like them in his heart. He picked people that was like him to hang with, to run with, or her, however the case is. You understand that's how it works. But I'll take that even a step further and say this. If your children are picking up bad habits from other children, that's your responsibility. It ain't the children's responsibility. It's yours. They do. I know they do pick it up. I mean, I don't understand it, but if they learn another language, they never learn good words, they learn bad words. Right? They get with these other children and these things rub off. I'm saying as parents, be careful who your children hang with. God gave them to you. And you do have responsibility and the opportunity to say, you're not running with that crowd. Them people are not good for you. You don't have to make them Pharisees. I'm not talking about being a Pharisee. Amen. Another thing I heard Brother Ricky say today that I like, I never heard anybody say. He said, I'm not a Pharisee nor the son of a Pharisee. Not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I'd heard that, but I never heard somebody say, I'm not a Pharisee nor the son of a Pharisee. But I'm not interested in making Pharisees out of them. But you don't just allow bad influence to influence your children. Amen. Well, again, this proverb that we're looking at goes down the same line as many of the others. It teaches us to be on guard about our pathway. Be careful about the pathway we're on. Be careful how we walk. And by the way, to guard the pathway you walk, you got to first guard your heart. The type of person you envy. The type of person you look up to. Amen. I hope that there's nobody in here that have a poster, for example, no boy in here that have a poster on your wall of Michael Jackson that you'd aspire to be like her, him, whatever it was. Right. I hope nobody do that. But Christian parents allow their kids to do that. Things just as bad as that. How about these little, you know, these little mermaids leading into this whole LGBTQ plus stuff? Right. We just bring it right in, think nothing of it. You ought to aspire higher than that. Don't make some sodomite your hero. Amen. And by the way, I will say,
God's people ought to be your heroes. And I'm not telling you to make me your hero, but I do say make Jesus your hero. He ought to be our hero. Amen. Amen. So he warns a great deal about what we envy. He warns a great deal about what we desire, because envy and desire spring up in our heart and then they affect our pathway, because your heart affects the pathway that you walk on. And he says the pathway these fellows are walking on leads to destruction. It leads to mischief. If we can learn to keep a firm hand on the reins of our heart, we can walk straight. We can walk uprightly and honorably. Amen. You remember Asaph in Psalm 73. Asaph spoke about his feet being nearly slipped. You know why? He said, because I envied sinners. Started in his heart. He got to noticing their prosperity. He talked about he was envious at the foolish, and he saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He was nearly gone. And I tell you that if you allow your heart, if we allow our hearts to muse upon these evil things, it will affect our pathway. Amen. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what Paul told the Philippians. Amen. Verse number 3 and 4. I've spent a lot of time on 1 and 2. Let's go to 3 and 4. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding is it established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Here's a sample. It goes right along with what we're just looking at, but a sample of the place where our heart would lead us. If our heart leads us to meditate on the wrong things, we'll be led to destruction and mischief. He already talked about their heart studieth destruction in verse 2. In verse number 3, he's talking about how that understanding establishes it. How that your house can be builded rather than destroyed. Amen. Amen. This destruction and mischief is when we think wrong. But when we think right, there is construction. There's establishment. Amen. Amen. By the way, don't think on things that tear down and destroy. Think on things that build up, that establish. Amen. I know the world swallowed this whole thing and talking about positive, the power of positive thinking. And there is power in positive thinking. I'm not talking about thinking lies. I'm not talking about living in a fantasy world. But I am talking about think on those good things. He talked about all that. If there be any of those good things, think on these things. Amen. I was dealing with this morning about how we hear all this news that is bad. And by the way, look at it. Men are bad, but God is good. Amen. We don't come in here to talk about men. We ought to come in here to talk about God. We don't sing about men. We sing about God. Amen. And our praise ought to be directed to God. So don't always be thinking about those things that tear down. By the way, if all you do is find fault with everything, you're not building, you're tearing down. You're tearing down. Amen. We was talking with the Watts. What's his name? He said, that's him, what's his name. We was talking with them and talking about people looking for a church. And Mrs. Watts mentioned that they were both in the military. I know he was, Air Force. I think she was in the military too. They met in Italy. And it moved them around a lot. And anyway, in all that, they talk about how you'd have to find a church. And he said that God was faithful in that everywhere he moved, God would have a good church there. Praise God for that. But they don't just happen. You got to look for them. You got to find them. But this is what she said that makes sense. I never thought about this. She said, the longer you go without finding a good one, the more picky you get. And the more you'll go in looking for things that you dislike rather than looking for things that you do like. That's probably true. Probably true. And we could come in here and every single one of us could name something that we dislike about somebody in this room. But we're all glad we're each other here. We ought to be. All of us ought to be glad that the other is here. Right? Even if you do get on my nerves. Even if we do get on each other's nerves. We ought to be glad, and so we ought to look for the good. I don't mean never mention the bad, but don't be constantly thinking on the bad, or it's going to lead to destruction rather than to construction. Amen. Don't allow your mind to be filled with dirty things. It'll destroy. Don't allow your mind to be filled with unclean things. Fill your mind with the knowledge of God. That's what he's talking about in verse number 4. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Amen. Let your mind be filled with good things rather than filled with bad things. Do you want your family to prosper spiritually? If that's what you want, then fill your family on the things of God, not on the things of the world. Amen. Don't seek after the gains of this world. Seek after the gains of God. Seek after God's wisdom, God's understanding, and God's knowledge that he's talked about in these two verses. Those three things. He talks about wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Through wisdom, a house is builded. That's your home. That's your family. Can be built up. Can be strengthened, established, he says. And by understanding, it is established. You know the Bible. That can help your family. But it really strengthens, stabilizes you when you understand it. Not just know where those things are at. You, for example, know where the book of Galatians is. It is in the New Testament, by the way. And not just knowing where those things are, but knowing what they say. The book of Galatians, for example, just throwing it out, not my notes, but the book of Galatians, primarily dealing with the facts that we're not saved or kept by works. Amen. That we're saved by grace and we're kept by grace. Amen. We're not to be led astray by any of those other things. But I'm just, that's a little bit of knowledge, but then there's also understanding, or there's wisdom, and then there's understanding, and there's knowledge. So knowing about some of those things. Seek after those godly things. Those are great gains. Those are pleasant riches. Amen. Your children ought to learn to sing Jesus Loves Me, for example, rather than to sing Achy Breaky Heart or something like that. It's been a long time since I heard that. I don't want to hear it again. Amen. If I've heard it the last time, I'm happy. I don't expect to hear it in heaven, do you? Right. So we ought to let them sing things. But we more than likely, I don't know in heaven if we'll sing Jesus Loves Me, but we very well may. There'll be nothing wrong with it. Amen. So I'm talking about these our thoughts. He talks about chambers in verse number 4. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled. The chambers. What are chambers? Could be the rooms in the house that is builded on God's wisdom. They talked about there in verse number 3. Through wisdom, a house is builded. So a house is not just a building. It has rooms. It has chambers in it. Right. But it also is talking about our heart. And your heart has chambers. Isn't that amazing? Doctors didn't discover that for a long time, but God talks about it right here in his book. Amen. The chambers of your heart. He's what he's talking about. Let the word of God be in the chambers of your heart. Not just the word of God. You know some verses and you put them in one corner, but you got wickedness in another corner. You got one room for God and the rest of the rooms for yourself. Then you've got a heart that's messed up. Amen. Ought to be no place for the devil. Give no place to the devil is what the Bible says. Our heart ought to completely be to God. Love the Lord thou shalt love the Lord thy God. How much? With all thy heart. Let your chambers be filled with the knowledge of God, with the wisdom of God, and with the things of God. Amen. The understanding of God. Amen. So he's talking about don't let your heart have envy. Don't let your heart have wickedness. Don't let your heart have pride. Don't let your heart have evil in it. Fill the chambers of your heart with all precious and pleasant riches. God's wisdom, God's understanding, and God's knowledge. Amen. It looks to me like that it is possible to build a house on wisdom, but neglect to follow it with understanding, and although it's built, it's not established. Right. There's men in this room that have built and do build houses. That work on building houses. It takes an amount of wisdom. But you can build it on sinking sand. And it won't be established. Amen. You can build it. Wisdom. Build the house.
But if it's built without the understanding, it won't be established. I believe what he's saying is we got to be careful that we start right and continue right and press forward upward for the glory of God. Amen. We ought to be pressing on the upward way. New heights we ought to be gaining every day. Amen. Amen. Following God, following Him in the spirit of prayer, following Him in His Word. By the way, Jesus talked about worship Him in spirit and truth. I believe we can follow God in the spirit of prayer and in the truth of God's Word. Amen. Spirit and in truth, we can follow Him. So this thought's continued in verse number 5. Look at it, verse number 5. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of understand or of knowledge increaseth strength. So this speaks not only of procuring strength, being strong by the knowledge, but also increasing strength. Amen. Not only having some strength, but increasing strength. I'll just plug this. Some people would say this about Island Ford Baptist Church. Through the preaching, primarily Brother Hall over the years, some people would say that's a strong church. It's not a liberal church. It's not known across the country as a liberal church. They may say we're too strong. They may think that. But they think we're strong. How does a church get made strong? Well, he talks about we're strong through the knowledge, through the wisdom, through the understanding. But he said if a man is strong, a wise man is strong, verse 5, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Here's what he said. Not only ought you be strong, but you ought to be getting stronger. You ought not be getting weaker. Right? You ought to be getting stronger. As you mature, you get stronger. Amen. I saw Logan and Landon arm wrestling yesterday. And Landon nearly had him. Thought he did, I think. And one of these days he may. Because when he gets older, he'll get stronger. Right? The reason Landon's as strong as he is because he's got older. There was a day he was as weak as one of his sisters. Amen. When he was little, Logan. And he's big, big, strong, strapping man, Logan. Amen. I'm just picking on that. But here's what I'm saying. In our spirituality, we ought to be getting stronger. We ought to be getting stronger. How do you get stronger? By more knowledge of God. The more you know about Jesus, the more you want to be like Him. The more you're like Him, the stronger you'll be towards this world. Amen. You'll not be weak to the world, you'll be strong. Amen. Amen. There was a man that coined a phrase. A phrase. The truth of this proverb stated. The proverb says, a wise man is strong. Yeah, a man of knowledge, he increases strength. Lord Bacon was this man's name. That's a good name, ain't it? Wakes up in the morning and says, Lord Bacon. That makes my mouth water. But Lord Bacon, his name was actually Francis Bacon. I'd rather go by Lord than Francis. But his name was Francis Bacon in the early 1600s. He was at, see if I got it in my notes. I think I wrote it down. I looked up some stuff about him. He was Lord Chancellor of England under King James the First that gave us our Bible, by the way. Our English Bible. Amen. Our Bible translated in English. King James made this man Lord Chancellor of England. He was a philosopher. He is known as one of the leaders in the establishment of the scientific method and inductive reasoning. He is known as the father of inductive reasoning. You can look these things up. In other words, they still today look to him as a wise man. Here's the coin that he said this. He said, knowledge is power. That's what he said. That's what he's well known for saying. Knowledge is power. Well, listen, Lord Bacon didn't make that up in the 1600s. It's right here in your King James Bible. A wise man is a strong man. It don't mean that he's got big biceps, but it means he's not weak in what he knows. Amen. He's not weak in what he believes. You ought to be strong by standing on the Word of God. Amen. By the way, you can stand strong. You can take a strong stand if you're standing on the Word of God. You may be well learned in this world and yet be weak spiritually. Amen.
You learn more of the world, the weaker you'll spiritually get. But the more you learn about God and God's Word, the stronger your spirit will get. Amen. Amen. When you're standing on the Word of God, you can stand confidently because, here's what he said, the latter phrase, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Amen. You're not going to be weakened by knowing more of the Bible. You're going to be strengthened by knowing more of the Bible. I'll give this little plug and I'm moving on. I remember as a young man, a young preacher, there was an old man, old preacher. He's either in his 60s or 70s. Excuse me. And he had an affair on his wife. Actually moved in with another woman. And his brother, who was an avowed atheist, his brother said, he said, oh, and the man's name was Van. He said, Van just read that Bible so much that he went crazy. He just read that Bible so much that he went off the deep end. Can I tell you, reading the Bible does not lead you to adultery?
Amen.
He didn't get that from reading the Bible. He might have got that from reading some other book.
Amen.
He didn't get it from reading the Bible. The Bible won't lead you into that kind of stuff. Amen. All right, we're going to verse number 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Amen. So he's, see the connection here, this takes the previous proverb about being strong to the level of kings. A king is one that declares war. And he said, you're going to know how to call war. You're going to know how to fight your war. You're going to have strength in these matters of war. By wise counsel. Amen. Solomon wanted his son, who probably would be the next king, to understand that there's a multitude of counselors in the Word of God. Amen. We can get counsel from Isaiah and counsel from Jeremiah and counsel from Ezekiel and Daniel and Jonah and Hosea. And you go on down the line, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We get counsel from those men of the Bible, and that'll give us good, strong strength to declare our war and to fight our battles. Amen. Amen. So he's saying here, as a king, he's saying to his son, as a king, you need wise counsel. Don't just go to war frivolously. Don't just declare war haphazardly. You need to have some wisdom involved. You need to count the cost, our Lord would say. Whether or not you can take the city with so many men or not. Whether or not you can build the building with so much money or not. You need to take some wise counsel in these things. And so Solomon's telling that to his son. But can I say this, that it not only matters in the lives of kings. By the way, as children of God, if you're saved, you're a king and a priest. In God's eyes, that's what you are. God has made us unto him both kings and priests. Amen. And so you've got a war to fight. You've got battles to fight. Notice verse number 7. No, verse number 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make, the next word, thy war. You've got a personal fight to fight. You've got a war on your hands. Nobody else can fight it for you. By the way, young people, that's why you can't ride mom and dad's coattails into heaven. They can help you develop some good standards. You're going to have to learn them on your own. You're going to have to adapt them for yourself. Amen. Brother Tim Fuller preached a message sometime recently. Joshua had us look at it. Me and Melissa listened to it while we're getting ready for the funeral the other day. And Brother Fuller's talking about that he learned most of the standards and convictions that he has. He said, I got those from my mom and dad. And he said, they enforced those standards on me. He said, those standards was actually enforced on me. But he said, there came a day that I invited them into my own life. Not just standards that are enforced on you, but standards that are invited. He said, today if my dad goes off and changes his mind, it won't affect me that much because I've got my own standards. I know where I stand. I know what I believe. And you've got to get there, friend. Amen. Young person, you've got to get there. Amen. So he's talking about this wise counsel. You've got a battle. Wise counsel, thou shalt make thy war. And a multitude of counselors, there is safety. So here's how do you fight your war? Well, you need a good sword. Thank God we got one. You can get you a verse of scripture and you can stand your ground. But if you got a bunch of verses of scripture, you can stand a lot stronger. Many counselors. Multitude of counselors. Amen. That's what he's talking about there. Amen. You can do battle against Satan. You can do battle against the flesh. You can do battle against the world. Amen. And you can stand safely, strongly. Amen. By the way, it can be precarious to try to take a stand on just one verse. You try to build a doctrine just on one verse, you can get mixed up. But in a multitude of counts, there's safety. Amen. And by the way, when you got right doctrine, it'll line up through the Bible. There won't be contradictions here and there. It'll line up through the Bible when you get right doctrine. You can build your doctrine. You can battle Satan best with a plethora, a bunch of scriptures. Amen. Amen. By the way, this this ought to bring to mind how that the good kings of Israel and Judah, when they'd go to war, before they'd go to war, here's what they'd say. Is there not a word from the Lord? You remember that? Is there not a word from the Lord? They'd have the prophets of Baal saying, go fight them, go fight them. Or the prophets of the grove saying, go fight them. Even Ahab had that. But good King Jehoshaphat said, is there not a word from the Lord? Amen. We ought to look for a word from God to help us fight our battle. Amen. Solomon's been extolling God's wisdom. Now he goes to speak about those who cannot or will not attain to it. Look at verse 7. Wisdom is too high for a fool. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Now I believe the fool in verse 7 is the same as the evil man in verse 1. Fool's not just somebody that don't know. A fool's somebody who refuses to know. Somebody that rejects truth. Not just they don't know truth, they've rejected truth. Right, that's what he's dealing with here. Here's a person that lives a low life. A low life. Low lives can't reach up to God's wisdom. It's not that they can't, it's that they won't. Wisdom's too high. Now get this. Low lives are not only so low that they won't reach up to God's wisdom, they're so lazy that they won't reach up to God's wisdom. They're so in love with their low living. Right? How many people in the world, they could do better, and they know they could do better, but they love their low living, and they're too lazy to reach up and get God's wisdom. Amen. They're living in that groveling lifestyle, that groveling disposition of mind. Their desires are low. Their pursuits of interest are low. They mind earthly things. That's what he talks about there. They need to learn to set their affection on things above. Reach up a little bit. Amen. Let me encourage you. Listen, if we're not careful, naturally we'll live lower than we could be and should be living. If we don't put a little energy, put a little gumption in there to take what we're hearing and do something with it. Amen. Amen. Fools see no excellency in God's wisdom. They're so enamored, so envious of the evil man, so enamored with the presumed liberty. Just look at what all they get to do. Living low. Man, we got it made. Look at all this. And they envy the wicked, and they love that low living. They think that licentiousness is the way to go. And so they can't even make proper judgments. By the way, that's what it gets to. Verse number 7. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. The gate's the place of the city in Bible days where judgments were made. When you did business, you remember Boaz when he went to buy Ruth and redeem the property? I say buy Ruth, redeem Ruth and the property. He had to spend his money, and he went and he took that nearer kinsman that wouldn't do it. He took him to the gate of the city, and the men of the city made a judgment about whether he's given enough money, whether he had the right to redeem, all that. They made judgment. We're living in a world that can't make judgments. They don't know up from down, in from out. They don't know right from, they don't know male from female. They can't make judgments on hardly anything. You know why? Because they're so low living that wisdom's too high for them to reach. That's the world we're living in today. Nobody can call a spade anymore. Right? Goes on and on and on. Coming in Friday morning, I heard them tell on the America's Future, the thing with Frances Schaefer, that thing that they talk about. She spoke at Wellesley College some years ago. Of course, I think Wellesley's where Hillary Clinton went. I'm not positive. It's an all-woman college. This man that's doing the program now is talking about it. And that, not this year, but last year, this all-women college voted unanimously that if a man identifies as a woman, he can go to that college because trans men are women. This year, they voted that women who think they're men can still go to the women's college. So if you pretend to be a woman, you can come, or if you pretend to be a man, you can come. So in other words, we can't even make any choices. All women college now means all whatever except men that know they're men. Something wrong with that. Now what's happening? Places of higher education are getting more and more foolish. Why is that? Because they've been made a fool by rejecting God. Amen. And wisdom is too high for a fool. That's what he's talking about there. Amen. The fault of this verse that he's dealing with, there's a fault here. Something wrong here. But the fault is not in the wisdom. It's not that the wisdom's so high they can't reach it. It's in that they're too low, they won't reach it. Right? They're so low that they will not reach it. They won't even look up for it. They're so busy looking down that they won't look up. They've lived their life down so long that they won't even look up. Amen. Won't, by the way, if you won't look up, you probably won't reach up. They won't reach up to it. It's too high. It's out of their reach. They won't even attempt to reach it. Amen. Can I tell you that if you allow your thoughts and the feelings of your heart to run along these lower planes of wickedness and worldliness and sinfulness, you're going to find out that you're not even capable of reaching up. It'll be downward, downward, downward. You'll have to say, when preaching's done, you'll have to say, I don't see that. I can't see it that way. No, you can't. Because wisdom's too high. You've chosen the lower plane. You don't see the value of God's wisdom, and therefore you won't go to the trouble of attaining it. You know why a lot of people don't read the Bible? It ain't that they can't read. They don't see any good in reading the Bible. Right. Now, they come out with these new books, and everybody says, boy, you ought to get this, and it makes so much money on New York Times bestseller list or whatever. Everybody ought to read this book. And so many people jump on the bandwagon and read it. Can I tell you, this book right here has helped people not just this year or last decade, but centuries. This book has helped people for centuries if they'll just read it. But it's too high for them. Well, we can't understand these and thous. Three-letter words and four-letter words. We can't understand them. Amen. All right, let's get back. I can't. When our children were young and were little, Hannah was going to get her driver's license. By the way, you're still little when you're going to get your driver's license, as far as parents are concerned. And Hannah was going to get her driver's license. We had to go to public school to get her the driver's ed thing. And they put her in the hallway helping a couple of boys that couldn't read the book. They couldn't read the tests. Here's Hannah, 16, I guess, 15, 16, homeschooled, and she's telling these boys how to, and I told them this, I told Hannah and Melissa there, I said, but there's big words in there like stop and go or car. I know they don't have words like automobile. They could have never read that. Amen. But seriously, here, we mock that. We make fun of it. But here's the problem in our world today. People are getting dumber and dumber and dumber. Not just about words, but about reality. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Brother Kirkman says, you got to have spiritual help to get that stupid. I think that's right. You got to have spiritual help to get that stupid. It's not Holy Spirit help. Look at verse number 8 and 9. They go together. We'll finish with these two verses. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Ralph Wardlaw said this quote. He said, the spirit of these two verses is the same, though the expression is different. He says these two verses go together, and it makes sense to me that they do. I couldn't see how to separate them, to be honest with you. He's dealing with this thing. Both of these verses deal with the thoughts of the heart. Notice it. Verse 8 says, he that deviseth to do evil. Where did he devise that? In your heart. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness. Where's thoughts take place? In your heart. Amen. Now you say in your mind or in your brain. There's your mind and your brain are two different things. The brain's a physical part. And your blood pumping heart is a physical part. But the spiritual speaking of the heart and the mind are interchangeable many times, and they're used interchangeably in the scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I know it by heart. What are you talking about? Your mind. You know it. And it's your mind, not just up here in your head, but in the middle of you, right in the center of your being. You know these things. That's where your thoughts are. That's where your devising takes place. And these two verses are dealing with that. And he's talking about devising evil things, thinking on foolish things or evil things. Again, I believe that foolishness goes back to that fool is the evil man. Foolishness is the evil things that they're dealing with. Yeah. A man that meditates on evil things, he thinks upon evil things, is one that deviseth these evil things. And he devises those things that he has thought upon. Have you ever made a plan? That's devising a plan. You know how you make a plan? You think on it. It's not just a fleeting thought. It's a thought that you capture and you start working with. You start developing. Right. You first get it, you know, it's like that snapshot, it's not developed, but you take it in that dark room and you develop it. And in developing, you start planning and devising those plans. Those are thoughts. When you think on thoughts, evil, when you think on evil thoughts, evil's gonna come out of that. You might ask the question, verse 9 says, the thought of foolishness, the thought of foolishness, not the act of foolishness, the thought. Of foolishness. And you say, how can just thoughts be evil? How can it be sin if we just think on it? Well, here's how it is. It's because he's not talking about what man says is sin. He's talking about what God sees as sin. Now, we're living today. They don't see anything wrong with drinking, but God does. They don't see anything wrong with cheating on your spouse, but God does. They don't see anything wrong with sodomy, but God does. Amen. They don't see anything wrong with running naked, but God does. He's talking about what God sees. And they don't see anything wrong with thinking on evil things in the heart, but God sees it when it's in the heart. Right. And so he's dealing with these thoughts that are in our heart. He's thinking on evil. God knows the thoughts and the intent. Of the heart of man. By the way, that's why I'm preaching the Word of God, the King James Bible. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what it does? It knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And that's what he's dealing with in these scriptures we're looking at. Amen. We just saw a proverb that teaches us about those that refuse to reach up and get a hold of God's standard of wisdom. They can never come to proper judgment because they won't get a hold of that which is good. They can't judge what's evil. God says, I know the heart of that person. That heart has been thinking on evil things. God knows that. That heart has been thinking on evil things. When people get to the point that they don't see anything wrong with these sins, I'm going to tell you why they don't see anything wrong with it. They've been thinking on those sins. Maybe they've gotten envious of somebody with those sins. Amen. I don't mean to just keep going on, but this is a serious point I'm dealing with. I remember some years ago, the first church Dad started in Kansas was Washington, Kansas. When Dad left that church, he turned it over to a pastor. Many of y'all know him, Brother Danny Doss. Brother Doss and his wife had a girls' home out of Sunlight Baptist Church in Kernersville, North Carolina. They moved to Kansas, took the church there in Washington. Paige met somebody on the internet. His wife got to talking to somebody on the internet. And eventually ran off with somebody she met on the internet. Busted up their home, ended his ministry. Nearly destroyed the church. But there's another family in that church, a young preacher that moved from Charlottesville, Virginia. Brother, help me, Mom. Barnes, Brother Barnes, Randy Barnes and his wife. And I've forgotten her name now. It'll come to me in a minute. Deanna, thank you. And Randy and Deanna were in that church. They'd went there while Dad was there. They were working under Dad, thought maybe that it might work that Dad could turn that church over him, but that's not how God led. Anyway, long story short, when Paige did what Paige did, then Deanna said this to some other people. She said, I almost envy her because she's doing what her heart wants to do. Now, she's still living at home. She's still raising her children. She's got two little boys. Was they twin boys? Two little boys in their home. Little. She said, I almost envy her. Wasn't but a few months. You know what she did? Met somebody on the internet. Yep. Busted up another home. You know how that happened? Thinking on their evil. All of a sudden, what this other person's doing, that don't look so bad. Well, y'all are just being too hard on them. You're preaching on sin too hard. You can't be too hard on sin. How can you kill a snake too bad? Amen. How's Jerry Clower, how's the wrong way to kill a snake? Amen. Amen. The truth, we got to look at this. And by the way, and it starts in the heart. Now, I've been talking about how you surround yourself with friends, the books you read, the pictures you look at, the websites you go to. Amen. The music you listen to. All those things affect your heart and what you're musing on and thinking on. Amen. Amen. Well, God says that God can pronounce it good or evil. Men get to the point, they can't even pronounce it good or evil. They can't open their mouth at the gate. They can't make a judgment call. God says, I can. I can judge it when it's in the heart. While it's in the seed, God says he can judge it. Amen. By the way, let me mention that it's talking about these foolish, the thought of foolishness, verse number 9. The thought of foolishness is sin. That the word foolishness there means more than just weakness mentally. It actually means moral weakness. It means more than just being intellectually stupid. It means being morally depraved. It's talking about willful ignorance. A sinful rejection of the truth. This statement that says, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that clothesline preaching telling me what to dress, how to dress. I don't want to hear that telling me how to live my life. Nobody going to tell me what to do. You're in trouble, friend. You're in trouble when you get there. Amen. Now, you see it by the end of the statement. Look at the end of the statement of verse number 9. And a scorner is an abomination to men. You know what a scorner is? A scorner is not just somebody that doesn't know the truth. It's somebody that mocks the truth. Somebody that openly scoffs at the restraints. They mock the restrictions. By the way, they mock the standards. They mock them. They make fun of them. They sneer at them. He says, you're going to be seen as an abomination to men. Amen. Amen. The thought of foolishness is kept in their stubborn heart. They hang on to that. And they laugh at God. They laugh at the judgment. They go on their way sinning with a high hand. But one of these days, judgment's coming. They may seem like they get along away with it for a long time. Amen. They devise their evil plan. They go about executing their evil plans gladly. And it looks like they're going all right. The scorner may even hold a place of prestige among men, a place of honor among the learned and the well-educated. Some of the wickedest people in the world are professors in colleges. Wicked. Wicked. They hold those prestigious places of higher learning. They get all these accolades from worldly wise men, but God calls them a fool. That's what God calls them, a fool. This kind of person is an abomination among men, and they're an abomination to men. Amen. Verse number 9. The scorner is an abomination to men. Who thinks these men are an abomination? People that can make a judgment People that understand a little bit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Now, the world can't make that judgment. But people that know God can. That's what he's talking about. Amen.